Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, Dan Snell. If you're listening to this, then you realize that you have two of the most extraordinary people on this podcast. Extraordinary, not because they're unique, but because they agree on pretty much nothing.
Extraordinary is a good
So the more
word.
you listen, the more you realize how much disagreement we have. And that is the unique part of this podcast.
Yes.
Don't have to listen to one person expressing a single point of view because when I can get Dan to commit to something, we'll get different points of view. So, Dan, good morning. Start us off with something spiritual.
Happy Tuesday. Yeah, well, we're coming up to Christmas, right? 8 days before Christmas, truly from a faith or spiritual standpoint, what the world looks to in the birth of Christ, that's a good thing. So I hope that people do take time in their busy schedule to remember that that's kind of the foundation, at least for Christianity, whatever denomination it is, Catholic, Protestant, that's the foundation of that other religious beliefs out there. May not hold it the same, but I'm excited about celebrating Christmas.
Good. All right. Well, I'm excited too. So, what's the agenda today? What's going on? Well, I'll start off. Everybody listened to the press conference by Trump yesterday with the SoftBank guy.
Yeah, $100 billion that he's going to spend. Now, this is at arm's length. What I know about SoftBank is they once per here right here in Kansas City, they helped buy a portion of Sprint, which is now part of T-Mobile. But SoftBank is in a lot of industries. Historically, from what I can see, they have a, and I can relate to this, they have a lot of great ideas and they got more money than I, but they got a lot of great ideas, but they don't always run through the finish line with them. So we'll
What,
see.
where do they get most of their revenues from?
They're in a lot of technology,
Okay, do you
communication.
know any company they own that they get revenues from?
Not since they had a big portion of Sprint. No, do you?
No, I could research them. We could Google them and find out. Now, what I liked about the press conference, which you didn't even mention, is that when they talked about the, he said, "Oh yeah, I'd like to invest," and Trump said, "Well, how about investing a little bit more?" And Trump said, "How about 200 billion?" The guy just laughed. But you see, there is an example of Trump not missing a beat. The minute the guy said, "Gosh, that was great, might invest more," Trump immediately went for the closure. How about
Yeah.
200 billion?
Yeah, the art of the deal, he would refer that to. He is a always trying to get more, which is good if it's for the American people and the American people benefit. So we'll see what happens here. We're going to see what happens with SoftBank. I don't know, did in that press conference, I didn't watch it. I just saw excerpts of it. Did they actually talk about in specifics of where this 100 billion is going to be done? Is it AI, I think it's
Oh,
going to
they
be?
don't know where it's going to be done, But
Yeah.
yeah, it'll be in some general area. We don't know. There'll be people fighting for that money for the next year. Only thing I heard was that he wants to have all the money invested by the time Trump's presidential term is over. So that's 4 years, right?
Yes.
But I mean, it's a great example of what I call hope. Whether it occurs or not, it buoys up people because we realize Trump is in there trying to get investments back in the United States.
Yeah, and that's good. And that's one of his strengths. His business background is a real strong strength. And I hope that he can deliver on some. He's made a lot of promises and commitments, and we'll just hope that hope is the right word. Let's hope that we can continue to say, hey, we're hopeful and it's happening.
That's it. That's your whole comment on the press conference?
Yeah, well, the other thing at that press conference, and again, this is just my particular style of leadership here, is I do not believe that, although Biden's done it to him with regards to things, but I don't think that President Trump, unless he's been briefed, which I'm sure he gets national security briefings, but he says, they all know, the FBI knows, NSA knows, everybody knows about the drones, the president knows, and they're not telling you. I don't know if that is an appropriate message, because it only adds to what really bothers me, is the division of how bad this administration is, and that's why I'm so good. If Donald Trump knew something, he should
go. It has nothing to do with good or bad. It has to do with the fact that he believes that they know it. I believe it. I mean, it'd be stupid,
but he doesn't have facts,
not to believe it. Huh?
You're not the president-elect of the United States, and you don't
have... I know
have,
I'm not, Dan, but...
75 million people voted for you.
These drones, you're telling me that they don't know what these drones are? We're spending billions of dollars on the CIA and the DOD and the FBI. They don't know what's going on. If that's the case, they should all be fired. They all should be fired, right? So,
well,
no,
it's easy to say that. That creates high drama. It's kind of like War of the Worlds. You remember War of the Worlds? Remember back, was it 1932?
Look, let me give an example. Where did Biden make any comment on the SoftBank investment? No. Did Biden ever have a press conference that lasted like an hour and just he took questions off the cuff? That's the important point. You missed the whole damn point of the conference. He started out with an announcement and then answered questions. And the one guy that asked the stupidest question of all, you wonder, where do these guys come from? You know,
what was the question?
He said, "Mr. Trump, will you consider a preemptive strike against Iran?" This is the stupidest question of all. And Trump said it. He said, look, he said, if I was considering a preemptive strike and I told you about it, then it wouldn't be preemptive, would it?
Yeah.
He said, so I can't, if you ask me a question like that, and even if I was considering it, no, it wouldn't be preemptive. Everybody would know about it. It's a stupid, and he said it. He said, I'm not going to answer that kind of question. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right. Well, he tells it the way it is. He doesn't like soft pedal it. The guy should be thrown out of the press room for even asking a question like that. It's like, are you considering?
Well, we're going to banter on that, because obviously I follow politics closely.
You don't
he
know
tells
what preemptive
it
means
the way
then.
He thinks it is. He tells
you know
it
what
way
preemptive means.
Yeah, I do.
What does it mean?
And I agree with his answer.
That's the
answer.
Important thing, right? You agree the question is stupid.
I agree that it's probably a young novice reporter that was assigned to that.
That's a stupid question then. All right.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Yeah. Donald Trump doesn't. You said something I'm going to banter with you about, and that's why people listen to this.
Well, hurry. Start the banter before I go to sleep.
You said he tells it like it is. He doesn't always tell it like it is. It really is based on fact. He tells it like in his mind how he believes it is.
Well, I'm for that.
At least I know what he's thinking. Worse yet, people sometimes surround him that spin up stuff that's conspiracy theories, which he believes, and that is one of the areas he needs to work on.
You're now talking about Trump behavior issue, which has nothing to do with the point. The point is, he gets a stupid question from the press, and he tells the guy it's a stupid question. That's the stupid. Are you considering a preemptive strike? I mean, Biden might say, yes, I'm considering a preemptive strike.
Yeah, well, we
how
don't
can
know
anybody
what Biden
ask that question and still sit in the press room? You know, they
don't know
got
who
to
got
be removed. Get somebody
you
in there
remember
that understands
that
how to ask questions.
The relationship between the Donald Trump and the media, we don't know who was invited to that press conference. We don't know what.
By the way, who asked that question? Do you know?
I don't know. No, did they identify themselves?
I probably did. I mean, I don't remember who it was, but it just blows my mind that these are the kind of people that are reporting on the news, and they get into seat the president. They, you know, the opportunity in my mind to ask a president elect. Actually, since the current president's not doing anything, at least Trump's doing something now, to ask a question. And to ask that kind of a question tells me that's the problem. How can anybody ask that question? So I've made my point, and I'm glad. I wish you would have even been more forceful. Just said, "Sit down, Mr. News Person," or would somebody escort that guy out of the room because he can't ask a legitimate question? So that's all I'm saying is that. And the other thing about it is that Trump answered the questions. You may not like what he answered. You may not agree with it. You may say he answered it out of his brain. I don't care what you say. He answered the questions. He didn't have a press person there reading from a document. He gave us his opinion. He's the president. I want to know what his opinion is. I'm happy when he calls the press out for ask. And he was very clear about other things, about the tariffs. Now he answered the questions the best he could, and the ones he didn't really answer to, he said, we got somebody looking at that. It was a press conference. It was kind of the way even John Kennedy used to give them, where he used to almost keep the news people in stitches because he'd make so many good wisecracks. But Trump was fun to watch that press conference, whether you agree with what he said or not. He
Yeah,
was
no,
having a
I didn't
press
see it.
conference.
I just saw excerpts, and of course the excerpts are always depending on where you get the excerpt, whether it's one side or the other, left or
Well, tell me
right.
a bad excerpt you heard then.
The bad excerpt was what he said about the drones. I don't know if he has
Oh,
all the
okay.
facts. He was just
Well,
giving his.
no, he probably doesn't have all the facts. He's just giving you an opinion.
Well, I
He
would
has
hope.
certainly more facts than we do.
If I'm the president-elect of the United States, I hope that he has been getting intelligence briefings and he knows
Exactly.
something.
Let's assume he does.
Okay, let's assume he does. The most important thing for the leader of whether it's the people of New Jersey, New York, whatever, is to say, I just want to say, be at peace, be at rest. From what I know, I think it's the wild ideas are not accurate, and we should be calm. And the key is,
I disagree 100%. I want somebody who basically tells it the way he sees it, not the way I want to hear it. I don't need people like a five-year-old kid.
even if it creates somebody
I'm
going
not
out
a
and shooting at you.
baby. I'm an adult, right? I'm not a teenager. I'm an adult. If he's got information, whether he got it or not, and if he is, hey, these guys should know about it, I think that's true. I believe that that's true. Somebody does know about it. You can't have 100 or 200 drones flying around. Nobody knows about it. Of
But are
course,
they
they know
drones
about
or
it.
are they private aircraft? See, that's the thing. There's a lot of hysteria and people believing what they're
A
saying. Yeah, there's some
drone
drones.
is a private aircraft, right? That's the first,
Well,
it's
it's not
private.
a
That's the
small.
object. They're saying, well, we can't shoot them down. We can't shoot them down because they're private. Well, I think that's crap. I think I've heard other senators say the same thing. Shoot them down. Get a couple
Eric
of them.
Schmidt
I mean,
of
that's a stupid
Missouri.
thing. We know
Eric
what you
Schmidt
do
says
when you
shoot them
have a
down.
drone. You don't know what it's
That's
going. You shoot the
irresponsible.
thing down. You look at it. You see who made it.
Yeah,
You
but it's
look at the data
irresponsible to just be
inside it
shooting
and
in the
find out who's
air.
driving it, right?
If you go out right now in your front yard with your 9mm, whatever you got, start shooting at things in the air, I just think that's inappropriate.
Well, I'm not saying it isn't inappropriate. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying if I've got dozens of drones spying on me, right, and I can shoot one down and find out who they are, that's what I'm going to do. That's how you find out. You actually get a drone, you'll capture a couple of drones. That's what I'm saying. This is the stupidity of the drone argument, and that's what Trump is saying. It's stupid. Go capture a couple of them, shoot them down. I don't
He
care
didn't
how
say
you get
that.
them.
From what I saw, he didn't say that. He
No,
just
no,
said they
no. I'm
know.
not
He
saying
was
he
trying to
said
make
that.
it us versus
Dan,
them again.
Jesus Christ, will you listen once in a while? I never said he said that. I'm just saying it's stupid to say, like Biden is saying,
You
we
just
don't
said it.
know what's going on.
I hope all our listeners to banter will replay the last 25 seconds and then write webtalkwithbob@gmail and say, Bob, you said it.
No, you're not. You're taking things out of context like you usually do. That's a typical Democratic thing,
I'm not
right?
a
Let's go
Democrat.
back and
I'm a
I'll say it
registered
again.
Republican, baby.
Let me say it again. If we've got drones over New Jersey, and we do, and we want to know what they're doing, you know how we do it? We capture a couple of them. We shoot a couple down, and then we go in and look at the circuit boards on the drone and see who's behind it. We don't
Well,
just talk about it.
that's one way to do it.
No, that's the only way to do it. Otherwise, you can't find out. That's all Trump is saying. It doesn't make sense to me. This is what I interpret as what he says. It doesn't make sense to me that nobody knows what they're doing.
Well, we don't know.
No, I don't know. That's for sure.
We don't know all the facts.
I don't know any of the facts. I just know what I read, right, and what I hear. But I also have common sense. Look, we can have common sense. Common sense tells me if there's a bunch of damn drones out there and I want to know what they are, I capture a couple of them and look at the circuit boards. That's how you do it.
Yeah. And
they don't do that. Trump, Biden not doing it. And maybe the FBI is doing it. Maybe the CIA, we don't know that. I don't know that. Maybe he knows that.
Exactly.
But
we don't
know. The real point is, just because I don't know the facts doesn't mean I can't apply common sense. Even as an expert, when I go to court, I can use common sense. Common sense tells me if I've got 50 drones above my house and I want to know what they're doing, I capture a couple of them. I shoot a couple of them down and I see who complains. Then I know who's behind it. Right. If it's Johnny Doe down the street, he'll say, he just shut my drone down. Oh, my God. Well, I'll say, Johnny, get your damn drone all away from my house. You're invading my privacy. Right. Anyway, so that's the drone story. What else you got?
That's the drone. Well, sad. Nothing we can really banter about except. Maybe if there's a solution, the sad events that took place with the shooting at the school, the Abundant Life School.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah.
In Madison, Wisconsin. You know, how much in this case, now it was just a 9mm gun. It wasn't a big rifle or.
Dan, why do you care what kind of gun it is?
Well, I do because it's bigger than banning particular types of guns, you know, like there's conversation.
Wait a minute. Why are you all of a sudden talking about banning guns?
I'm not talking about banning guns. I'm saying the conversation.
Well, you just said the word banning guns
in Washington. It's the Washington conversation should be what do we do? What do we do? And you know, some of their conversation has been banning semi-automatic weapons.
Oh, let me ask you a question. What do you think we can do?
If I were president again, yep. I always like to get the best and brightest minds together. You can't
all
just
right, you
ban
keep saying
guns.
That you get all these people together in a room and meet
and then I make the decision. Yeah, but you know what?
Yeah,
Donald Trump can't make that decision. He's not.
There's no decision.
Enough.
Wait a minute. What decision are we talking about?
I'm going to again the issue. I really do.
What
think.
What decision are you talking about?
Well, what are we going to do about the plethora of mass shootings in America?
Yeah. You see, the issue for me around this bantering is what question are we asking ourselves? There's different questions we can ask ourselves, right? We can ask what I'll call the mental health question, right?
Right.
Is it caused by mental health? Now, so listen to what I'm saying. I'm not talking about answers. Now, I'm not talking about getting smart people in a room with coffee and carrot cake and ask them what they think. I'm saying, what should be the questions we ask ourselves here? Now, obviously, it's horrible. It's horrible. Right? Any shooting is horrible, right? Any death is horrible, right? And the fact that she had a gun, that's horrible, right? We don't know where she got the gun. That'd be one question. Where did she get the gun, right? Another question would be, and this is what I understand from reading, why did a second grade student call 9/11? Where were the teachers? Was this second grade? How old is a second grade student, by the way?
A second grade student is what, seven?
Seven or eight.
Yeah.
Did he have a phone with him? Thank God he did.
And kudos to his mom or dad, whoever taught him, when you see something, say something, call 911.
But
the only
the
other thing
that
surprises
that the
me.
Question we ask ourselves, he's in a room with other elementary students, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And there has to be a teacher in that room. Why is he making the call?
Well, I don't know the answer, but I do know that there is technology available that as I was involved in law enforcement software, that when a gunshot is recognized by sound systems. There are monitors, there are microphones. It automatic at a school, it automatically locks the doors and calls 911.
Yeah,
and that's I don't know why that didn't happen at that school.
And that comes back now to what I call not focusing on the answers, since the answers are far more complex, but focusing on what are the questions. You know, we know this is a very small school, 200 students. We know that it goes from elementary to high school. That's what, eight? That's 12 years, right? 12 grades?
Yeah, I think it's 400 students, 450, but...
Well, I read 200, but that's it's whatever the number is. It's a small school.
Yeah.
But the questions to me are key. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, if it could happen, I guess, at any school. That's the first. I believe that. Just because we haven't happened have not had it happen in our schools, I believe it's totally possible that could happen in our schools where I live. So I don't just say it happens other places. It could happen here, right? But my issue is, when I read about it, is what are the questions we're asking? Now, one person I asked the question, what can we do to stop this? But see, that's not a good question. Because first, we don't know what this means. We don't know what stop means. Does it mean slow down? Does it mean, we don't know what that means, right? That question. We need more precise questions to work on to get answers. I don't know the answers. I'm not suggesting that. But I'm saying, by asking enough and the right questions, we can come up with the right answers. You have, I think, a very good example of technology. I don't know what it costs to do that, but that would be something that could be implemented. What does it cost to do that in a school?
Yeah, I think, well, it depends on the size of the school district, individual school.
But
I think
what does it cost?
I think it's around, as I recall, it's around $75,000 to $100,000 per school.
Oh, my God. That's a lot. I thought it might be like, why does it cost that much to listen for a gunshot and dial a phone?
Well, because you have to put multiple gunshot monitors in around the
audio, school, a lot of audio
right? Monitors. Yeah. And then you have to have the technology that recognize that turns on cameras. Most school districts now allow their local police or 911 centers to have access to their cameras. So what happens is that gunshot automatically goes to 911. The cameras in that school are automatically on the screen and alerting the 911 center so they can see what's going on, the police, and they can direct.
I bet it costs a lot less, because I know on my watch, my iWatch, if I fall down, and this has happened to me, I'm walking down the stairs, I fall down, I'm on the floor, my iWatch says to me, do you want me to call an ambulance? That's what it says.
Interesting.
It noted that I had fallen.
Yeah.
Right. And it asked me that. And I said, no, I'm okay. What I'm saying is that technology is built into every iWatch that a person has. I don't know if it's built into my phone or not, but my watch will call an ambulance for me.
Well, somewhere in a corner office in some technology computer software company, they're thinking more about the board of directors and the investors than they are thinking about, you know, how easy it is and low price it is, unfortunately.
I think this is a good thing that somebody could look into, is that what is a very, very inexpensive way to implement the technology you're talking about? Because if we have to rely on a second grader having an iPhone to call 911, to me, that's the problem. I mean, the tragedy, I mean, don't misunderstand me. Obviously, the killing is horrible on the parents. My God, I don't know what I'd do if my kid came home from school one day, or worse, he didn't come home from school one day because there was a killing. I would go berserk.
Yeah. Well, I'm almost finished, because I've been doing some research into what the previous thoughts are. But as you and I, breaking news, I said yesterday, the one area with all the appointments that President Trump is doing, one area, and we talked about it before this happened, is the mental health in America. And you brought that up earlier. But President Trump needs to appoint, and I'm going to post it on before the end of the day. He needs to appoint a mental health czar that addresses at many levels. And the second thing is the strengthening of the American family, because I don't think parents understand how to sit down with their kids and see and sense, hey, is there something going on in their life? And we need to address.
Well, those are two good points. Let me go back to your original point about mental health. First, how do you define mental health?
Well, I think an awareness of the pain. Everybody out there has got something going on in their life that's hurting.
Okay, let me ask a different question then, because that question's not going anywhere. How do you define mental health in such a way that somebody would take action to do something, to help somebody? How do we know?
Well, I think, and again, I'm not an expert, but being aware of symptoms or triggers or words or behavior so that you can maybe talk to them.
How do I be aware of that stuff?
How can you? Well, like as we banter, people would say, well, Dan looks like he's got this personality. Bob's got that personality, which you're an expert. You have a company that deals in personality and behavior and things of that nature.
What are we talking about here, Dan?
We're talking about you're talking about mental health. You asked the question, how do we help people so that they're aware of what's going on?
Yeah.
And I think we need to strengthen.
Okay. So you don't have the answer, right?
Families.
Well, all I know is that I know people on Friday or one day and the next day they've killed themselves. I have three different occasions of that, right? Where I've known people and I knew them and they looked great to me. They had no problems. So what I'm driving at is the issue of mental health.
Nothing going on in their life.
I'm in favor of mental health funding or doing something about it.
You're endorsing my mental health. You're the first one to endorse the mental health czar challenge to the incoming president.
Well, I think anybody would endorse it. I don't think it's an issue. The really issue is not endorsing it. It's now that we've endorsed it, how do we actually grapple with it? And I'm going to come back down to the issue of the questions. What questions do we ask ourselves? For example, what do we want to do about mental health? Do we want to identify people that have mental health problems and force them to go to a therapist? Do we want to identify people that have mental health problems and start tracking them? I mean, the issue of mental health revolves around the questions we ask about it. I have mental health problems. I get depressed sometimes terribly.
Sure, as do I.
As most people, right? But I don't think I even have the courage to kill myself.
Yeah.
So what I'm driving at is that there, so why, but can I? I mean, I know other people that have done it, and I'm thinking to myself, God, maybe I could kill myself. I don't know. How do I know? Because I have no measurement. I don't know when I'm crossing the line, right?
Of mental health, right? Well, and you've got a wonderful bride. And you've got good family members. And
well, she's the one I'm talking about that drives me to depression.
Jesus
Christ,
that.
You know,
you're one of the most blessed guys I know. You kill me, man. I'll banter on that for hours.
What?
So we really, I mean, in all seriousness, this has been going on since the 80s.
I think it's been going on for over 2,000 years. It started with the guy that said, hey, you know, let me poke a hole in your hand to make sure you're real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was that guy, right?
Doubting Thomas.
Yeah, Doubting Thomas, right? Yeah. He had a mental health problem because he didn't believe what he was seeing. So that's kind of my point, is that mental health, to me, it's like, I want to be happy. Right? And I don't know that there's an answer for that for everybody or even for anybody, right?
We
go through phases. I just don't know how many children. I mean, we don't tell our children the truth and haven't in years, right? We don't start telling the truth till they're old enough to handle it. You know, we go through, oh my God, Santa Claus is real and the
Are
Easter
you
Bunny and the Good Fairy. And we have all
are
these
you
stories.
this is the deep dark long because of Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, right?
Right.
This has bothered you since childhood. Did you want to share that?
What?
The moment how you are your parents, you said you always say your parents lied to you. You want to, it's always a good, hilarious moment.
Well, they did lie to me.
Because
and most parents lie to their kids all the time.
Because of Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny.
Well, they
you know,
don't
here,
tell
let's
us
ask
we're
our
going to
friend
die.
Google.
No, they don't tell us we're going to die and start preparing us for that.
Yeah.
One of the, you know, if you get into a family, speaking of mental health, there are some subjects that are taboo. And I can just tell you, in my family, if I start talking about death and I say, you know, I'm 82, I think I have another 5 years left, somebody will say, oh, no, you're going to live longer than that. Well, maybe I am, but, you know, when I'm 96, I don't think I'm going to be able to go hit a golf ball without falling over and killing myself.
Yeah, I think
So,
the
and if I
greatest
look at,
gift.
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying there, those subjects are taboo, right? You don't talk about death yet. We all know everybody in this room, it's a family room, is the family is going to die
Yeah.
at some point. But most families aren't prepared for that. They always start out with, gosh, yesterday he was in such good health and today he died. Well, okay. I mean, he obviously wasn't in good health, or he was such a good person, you know. I heard all this stuff. In other words, we don't spend talking about mental health, right? To
Right.
me, mental health starts with accepting the worst thing about our life.
Yeah. And
You know what that is?
recognizing also the best things to be grateful for.
No.
But both.
What is
balance.
the worst thing about our life?
The worst thing about our life is that we, you know, we never know the day that something bad's going to happen. So you just
Okay,
have to
let me
just
go back
trust
again.
God.
What I said was that mental health starts with acknowledging, this is my
That we're
view,
going to die. You think that's the worst thing?
acknowledging we're going to die. And if you start living your life like you're aware you're going to die, you're going to have a little better life, because you're not going to be so quick to cut somebody off, to do something else, to because you realize you're fallible. It's the belief that you're infallible, in my mind, which raises an expectation that's not real. In other words, people will tell you depression is caused by the differential between where you are and where you think you should be. What I call your expectations, right? When I
Yeah.
was 44 years old, I believed I'd be a senator before I was 50. I'm 82. I'm not going to become a senator, and I don't try anymore.
You're still young. You still could.
Okay. See, there you go. That to me is the beginning of a mental health problem. You've just said something to me that's absolutely not true.
Well,
And that
the
goes
guy
back
who's
to my
going to be
point.
If you talk about a senator at 82, the guy who's going to be president will be 82, and he'll be
See, now
president.
you're making an argument in your defense. What you said is indefensible. I am never going to become senator. And if I
Okay.
think I am, I will get even more depressed, because again, it's expectations. If you want to control some things in your life, I always say lower your expectations. You'll always be happy. You'll always be satisfied, right? Guys,
Well,
I'm just not happy. I don't have enough money. You know,
interesting
what is, you know,
statistic is
pardon
suicides
me?
in America are around 48 to 50,000 a year, and murders by guns is around 26,000.
Yeah, I
It's
don't doubt
double.
that, you know.
It's double. Let's ask Google. I'm going to ask Google a question here. Google, tell me, comparatively in the world, what nation has the lowest or the lowest suicide rate and the best mental health?
Well,
Google's not.
you see, that question is not
What's the right
precise
question?
enough.
What's the, I know I didn't. I was just, yeah, you asked the question to Google.
Well, no, you can't. I cannot ask a good mental health question.
Well, we could compare and maybe find out, okay, this is what they're doing in Europe, or this is what they're doing in Australia. Hey, Google, what country in the world has the best mental health programs for their citizens and the lowest suicide rate?
Yeah, but you just made a compound question.
William Dash
They
Russell Wilson
might even be
says,
related.
in 2024, we're proud to say that Sweden is our number one country for mental health, retaining the top spot for a second year running. Luxembourg and Norway are runners-up,
I
with
can't hear
Latvia
them,
and
so you got to
Germany
tell
also
our
making the
listeners what
top
they're
five.
saying. Sweden and Norway, Latvia and Germany, Finland. So that's
Yeah.
interesting that those upper Nordic
What about
countries,
it? Now, make a complete sentence there, please.
these results
that
on
those,
Reddit.
whatever we should look into, what are they
Okay.
doing with
At,
regards to mental
can
health
you
programs?
state the answer in a sentence? Are these people living longer? What's the answer to your question?
The
You're not
question
answering it. What'd
question
they
was,
say?
who has the best mental health and lowest suicides?
Okay, so that's a compound question, right? And they may not be together. There may be high suicide rates in mental health. In other words, they're not a connected comment, right? You need two separate questions here. But the answer is, what was the answer?
The answer was that those nations, Finland, Sweden,
Yeah.
Norway, Germany,
Okay.
Latvia, had the
Lowest suicide rate.
lowest suicide and the best. I ask a
Yeah, no,
compound question.
it's a compound question. You
Yes.
understand that,
And I
right?
ask about mental health.
Right.
Yes.
And of course, we don't know what anybody means by mental health, right? I'll ask it another way. Which country has the lives the longest? What's the average age? What country has the longest age of their population? Ask that question.
Hey, Google, which country in the world has the longest lifespan in their population? She's
Yeah, I
thinking.
didn't know. Yeah, it's not going to be America for sure. It's probably going to be one of these countries where the people smoke a lot.
Yeah, it used to be. Hey, Google,
Because that calms them down,
what
right?
country has the longest lifespan? She's dumbfounded.
Yeah. Anyway, you'll get an answer, and it won't be America. But going back again, so I think we beat up the issue of mental health. Sure, we need a mental health czar. I just don't know what we'd tell them to do. Go look at mental health, fund some mental health issues or fund some mental health areas. I don't know. I mental health is, to
Well,
me, it's
everybody
almost
wants
a
to hide
daily
it.
thing. Pardon
You
me?
talked about, we talked about, I know a lot of, unfortunately, even close to me, some families take the stance, don't want to talk about it. Don't want to talk about it. We're not going to
That
talk.
I understand
And they
that's a
hide
problem, right?
everything. And then you got all these secrets pent up,
Yeah.
and it's not good for the family.
Let me
I
ask you a
believe.
question. Is an alcoholic have a mental health problem?
I think, based on my understanding of that, it's there is some genetics that go there that also then tie into a mental health after the genetics have kicked in the dependency
Is
for
it
the addiction.
possible that mental health is mostly genetic?
Very possible.
Okay. All right. And so those are the kind of questions I think that a mental health czar would have to start asking. And I'll come back to the point I'm making now. And this is my only point for today, because we're about through, I think, with today's
Your
bantering.
only point, okay.
My point for today is that we need to think about in our family, in our business life, in our careers, new questions, better questions. Because the old questions haven't provided good answers for us. That's why we have certain problems, right? So, what are the new questions? What can we find new questions to ask ourselves? And
It's
I
an
think we've come
excellent
up with
point.
some of them now. For example, should families have joint discussions about death? The
Yeah,
whole family.
I think, I've got some background and some future in working with blended family, step family, single parents, and I believe that every family should have a huddle. Make it a regular family huddle where
Okay.
they
My
can
question, are you
talk
agreeing
to
with
things
me or
about that.
disagreeing with me, Dan?
I'm agreeing with you.
They should have a discussion about death.
They should have a discussion about death and a lot of things in the huddle.
Right. Okay. So I'm just focused on death right now. So you're also suggesting that there may be some other taboo things, right, that family should talk about.
Yeah, because when you get them out, there's a release and a peace and a feeling safe when you know you can discuss things and understand each other better, whether you're a child or an adult.
Yeah. So let's come back to this at another point. Let's kind of go back to LinkedIn. Have you managed to hook up with your LinkedIn person and get them on a webinar yet?
I sent an email this morning and looking forward to getting that LinkedIn person on air by the end of the year. You have to check her schedule.
And that's you have her email address?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm really interested in LinkedIn, and I think I'm going to do some homework before then in terms of what are LinkedIn sales, right? What their profits are. Are they a public company, by the way?
Well, LinkedIn is owned by Microsoft now.
Oh, they're owned by Microsoft, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's right. Microsoft paid billions of dollars for them.
That's right. Yeah, no, this is my big moment where I get to kind of, you know, as I always like to do, get my one taunt into you that you didn't know that, and I knew that.
Know what?
that Microsoft owns LinkedIn.
No, I just had forgotten it.
Okay.
Yeah, because I remember when they bought them, right?
Yeah.
Right. Now, who's the founder of LinkedIn?
Oh, good question. I don't know. Do you know?
All right. I'll come back to that in a second.
He's, as I recall, it's a guy. It's a great speaker, dynamic guy.
Okay, that's a good definition. That could fit, you know, 40 or 50,000 people.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me go back to the other point. My last point, I guess I said my last point was questions, but why are the CEOs of large companies, Apple Computer, Meta, Bezos, why are they going down to visit Trump?
Well, I think it's the dynamics of the Trump presidency make it so you are either showing him you are with him, and if you don't actively pursue him, he views that as you're not with him.
Okay, so again, you come back to this unbelievably narrow viewpoint of why they would go there, kind of a behavioral thing. I mean, aren't they going down there to ask him for favors?
Well, when they get there, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what we're talking about when they get there. I'm not talking about the trip down, Dan.
I don't know if they're getting there for favors or they're going to just protect themselves.
Protect themselves from what? What is Trump going to do to Bezos or Cook? Nothing.
Well, based on some of his statements that sometimes are off the cuff, he has
oh, my God. Here you go again.
Threatened things.
You know, you missed the point is, why do CEOs go down and want to visit with the president?
Well, because power, they are in power, and they want to be with the most powerful man in the world.
Why do you always look at things from a behavioral standpoint?
Because I think that's where my giftedness perhaps is, or that's what I look at. I've studied this, and you look at, I mean, well, I don't want to go off on a venture. Why in the hell is Donald Trump suing the Des Moines Register? Give me a break.
Let me clarify something for you. Bezos is one of the richest people in the world. He's worth billions of dollars. He just bought a ship that's worth $500 million or something, built a ship.
And he owns the Washington Times.
He doesn't need to go down to see Trump.
He owns the media. He owns media, too. So he wants to have access.
But listen to my point before you get off in something that's not related, right?
How is that not related? You kill me. How is it not related? He owns a newspaper in the town Trump's going to be in.
Okay. Let me finish. The issue is, why does he go down and see Trump? Trump knows he owns a newspaper, by the way. Why? He doesn't need Trump. He's got billions of dollars.
Do you not see that?
What?
You not see that he wants to make sure that he continues to grow his millions.
Okay, so let's here's this conversation. So, Trump, I'm Jeff Bezos now, and Trump, you know I own Washington Post. Well, sure, Jeff, I know you own You've been picking and on you, me that year for 4 or 5 years.
No, you get. You can't do both sides. You be Bezos, well, you I'll be side. Trump. You be Bezos,
which
I'll be Trump.
Which side do you want to be?
I want to be Trump.
Okay.
You're Jeff Bezos.
Okay, here, I flew down. I want to get a ticket to your nomination, so I'm going to make my $1 million contribution the same way Meta has done and the other people. What's for lunch?
Yeah, you appreciate it, and glad to see you're on board with my administration. Now, you haven't always been good to me. Your paper hasn't been good to me.
So what?
Don't talk to me like that.
By the way, I'm not going to be good to you.
I'm Donald Trump. Don't talk to me like that.
No. Now, you're getting the behavioral issue.
Well, that's the way he behaves.
No. I don't think you really get the essence of a meeting between a CEO and the president-elect. The essence is not about behavioral issues, right? Because, I think more of Trump and Bezos to think that they're going to get wallowed down in the behavioral issues of the past.
I hope that they wouldn't.
Okay. Well, I don't know. You have a weird, weird view of what goes on between two people in a meeting of substance, not a meeting of bullshit, but a meeting of substance, right? Substance. Is there substance in a meeting between Bezos and Trump?
Well, we don't know because we're not there.
Okay. All right. There we go. Do you think there might be substance?
Well, I hope so. So
do you think there might be?
Yeah.
All right. Good. All right. Okay. I think there's going to be a lot of substance between.
What do you think is going to come of it? What do you think the substance, what's going to be the outcome?
No. I don't know what the outcome is. I never even talked about the outcome. I talked about that these people are not stupid. They're going to have substantive meetings, right? Substantive meetings are not about you didn't like me and I didn't like you. That's not a substantive meeting. That's just a battle of egos, right? And these guys have all got big egos. They all know they've got big egos. They're all wealthy. None of them need each other.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Well, Bob, listen, when you talk about me and behavior, Donald Trump has an opportunity. Donald Trump has a great opportunity to do things for this country. He's a good ideas, has some good people, not everybody, but he has an opportunity to build an administration and leave a legacy that will positively impact the nation.
That's what he's doing.
At all levels.
He already started doing.
However, it's important that his behavior and his words, he measures them.
All you're doing is saying truisms again. Of course that's true. But don't say it like I don't believe it, all right? Of course that's true. An idiot would agree with that, and I'm not an idiot, right? But I'm saying, of course it's true that words are important. We all know that. We need to know what we're... My issue is about a substantive discussion, not about... We know the words are important, Dan, so you don't need to bring that up again.
Your grandson,
yep.
little Ricky, who's going to be a great golfer one day and probably on the PGA Tour, but your grandson, my grandchildren, the people that are in second grade, the people that are in eighth grade, high school, college, they are watching, and I can't say this enough. If they think it's okay to drop the F-bomb or say bullshit or say words that really and talk about people and just poo-poo them and that some people don't matter and that only matters in certain situations.
Okay, so in other words,
we're raising a generation. We're raising a generation that divides everybody into who's for me or who's against me.
You just can't get off that subject, can you? In other words, don't insult me, basically. Of course, what you say is true.
You can't be insulted.
No, sure I can. You're insulting me because, of course, I agree with you, Dan.
You can't insult me.
Listen to what I'm saying. Of course, I agree with you. Now that I agree with you, we don't need to talk about that again. All right.
Wait a minute. 11:21 a.m., 12:17:24. I just want to mark the time.
I've said it many times because I'm not an idiot. I'm not an idiot. An idiot would not agree with what you said because what you're saying is a truism. The debate is never about the outcome or the objective. The debate is always about the implementation. That's what I mean by substantive discussions, is about implementation of things.
Well, if I'm Jeff Bezos, I can offer support in the AI movement. I can offer support in the cloud computing. And he's probably trying to get business because Microsoft and Amazon were battling for the cloud contract in the federal government, and they went back and forth. So I'm sure that's part of the substance of what he's discussing.
And he says, Trump, give me the contract.
Well, I'm sure he's just saying, I'd like to be considered, and here's what I'll do to help.
Yeah. Well, I hope that's not the discussion, but it could be, right? I hope the discussion is not about who gets the contract, because that's a competitive bid issue, not a I'm your friend issue, give me the money, right?
Well, I think we'll be talking about at some future TikTok, because TikTok, everybody, Republicans and Democrats, wanted them out, right?
Yeah.
China, the guy that is the CEO goes and visits Trump. He just went and visited Trump yesterday.
Yeah.
And now we're going to see what Congress does before January 19th, which is the day that TikTok is supposed to turn off TikTok in America. So
TikTok is not going to be turned off, period.
I agree. And
so
I think Donald
all
Trump
we're arguing about is who makes the money.
Donald
TikTok.
Trump has an impact on that.
Is TikTok a private company, public company?
No, it's owned by China. It's a China-based company.
Well, China is a country, so the country doesn't own anything. Who owns TikTok? Not the country. Don't give me the geography. Who owns TikTok?
Specifically, I don't know.
I don't know either, and I've always tried to find that out. But because the answer everybody says, well, China owns it.
Well, let's real quick before we go. Hey Google. Who owns TikTok?
It'll tell you China.
ByteDance. ByteDance.
Yeah.
ByteDance.
Yeah, who owns ByteDance?
Hey Google, who owns ByteDance? ByteDance. Who hey Google. Hey Google, who owns ByteDance?
I don't know.
She can't understand my words.
Nobody knows, right? It's like, anyway, hey, listen, Dan. That was really good. Pretty good, intense discussion this morning. So
intense, our listeners, we should have some kind of a score, like a boxing scoring method.
No, because you think it's a competition. It's no competition.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's just so fun because,
there's no winners or losers.
You is, it takes a lot of courage.
And bantering, there's no winning or losing. You don't banter to win. I'm not out to win something. There's no prize. We don't make more money.
We're just stimulating thought. We're stimulating thought.
Yeah,
and
people that listen to us will probably get stimulated one way or the other.
It's important that people will subscribe to the podcast and write us at webtalkwithbob@gmail.com.
Nobody's ever going to send us an email.
Well, the first... you're an author of how many, 16 books now?
I don't know, and I don't care.
We'll send them an online copy of one of your...
I won't send them anything. They go buy it if they want.
The first person.
I'm not begging
just the
people.
First person.
I don't beg people to send me an email.
You're not begging them. You're enhancing the opportunity to get a free book.
Look, if they don't like what we're saying, if they don't find it stimulating, I don't want to hear from them. And I don't want to incent them to send me an email. That's what car dealers do. Come in today. That was the old banks did.
I'm only talking about the first
and get your
one.
Coffee maker.
The very first one. I can't believe nobody's written you.
Open a $25 bank account today and get a coupon worth absolutely nothing to buy at a store down the street from you. I mean, that's just stupid. No. To me, this is more about fun and developing an audio legacy.
Yeah.
People will have fun with this in about 50 years. So sign off for us.
So,
Dan.
Yeah.
We'll
so we started out, you said, we're going to tie it back to Christmas coming up in 8 days. We'll be back on before then. But suggestion for a Christmas gift is all the things we talked about today. Maybe make a real, doesn't cost anything, a coupon book that gives everything from, I'll wash. If you're a child, you say, I'll wash the dishes. If you're an adult, say, I'll take you to the park. do something that's a gift that you know somebody in your family or loved ones close to you, because that's what Christmas is about, giving.
Good idea. You can give me everything you've got. All right.
Okay.
See you later, guys. Hey.
All right.
Have a good day, Dan.
Stay winsome.